Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, cats, how to understand their sleeping schedules, how to de-static their fur in the winter, and the pros and cons of declawing them. Well, let's start there. Here's a subject that still comes up from time to time, not without its share of controversy. The pros and cons of declawing cats. Is it really cruel? Josie F. Turner posted this on AnimalWise.com, December of 2018. If you share your home with one or more cats, you will know that their claws have to be reckoned with. Cats don't have the same appreciation for furniture and walls as we might. What we think of as a cherished family heirloom might be little more than a mahogany scratching post to our cats. Reconciling our love for furnishings with our wish to have a cat in the home isn't always easy, so it is understandable some will look for ways to prevent this behavior. One such method is known as declawing. It is a controversial procedure which involves not only the removal of the claw, but the removal of the last finger bone, known as the distal phalanx. Such severe surgery can seem painful for the cat, prompting AnimalWise to wonder what are the pros and cons of declawing cats. We look further into this procedure, focused on the physical and mental repercussions of the cat. We'll also look into possible alternatives for proper claw maintenance. What is declawing a cat? In the majority of individuals, a cat's paw consists of five fingers. Each finger has three bones known as phalanges. Polydactyl cats are those with more than the normal amount of fingers for a cat. A cat uses their claws for a variety of purposes, including hunting, defense, climbing, scratching, marking territory, grooming, and more. The distal phalanx of a cat is attached to the middle phalanx with a tendon, allowing for smooth movement and dexterity. There are also nerves and blood vessels surrounding them to allow for sensing aspects of their environment. A cat's claws are retractable, allowing them to be exposed when needed and hidden when not. The medical term for declawing surgery is known as onychectomy. It involves the amputation of the distal phalanx, cutting through the nerves and tendons to sever it at the point it connects to the middle phalanx. It is not a surgical extraction, but an amputation. This means that not only is the claw removed, but there is no chance of it growing back if the surgery is effective. The effect this has on the cat is difficult to quantify, and international attitudes differ greatly. It is a relatively popular procedure in the United States and Canada, with one survey from 2016 showing that 75.8% of respondents reported performing onychectomy. It has also gained popularity in some parts of Europe, whereas it is illegal to perform it as an elective procedure in countries like the United Kingdom and Australia. To better understand the opposing points of view on this topic, we need to look at the pros and cons of declawing cats. The pros of declawing cats. While declawing is technically a mutilation, the onychectomy procedure has many supporters. The main concern of people against the practice is that it appears to benefit human guardians, but has little to no medical benefit to the cat itself. There are some instances where declawing might benefit a cat physically, but this is only if they have a pre-existing condition. Here are the potential benefits of declawing a cat. Protection of property. Since even singular instances of a cat scratching furnishings can cause serious damage, declawing a cat protects property. Improves bond between cat and owner. Since the destruction of property can cause resentment, declawing is seen by many as a way to help cats and their owner get along. Some reports have suggested a perceived improvement of the relationship after onychectomy. It stops scratches. A cat may scratch at you for various reasons, often problems during socialization or other sources of aggression. Declawing a cat means the cat will still try to take a swipe at you, but will inflict no damage. This can be particularly beneficial to elderly and younger people who might incur more physical damage than others. Prevents abandonment and euthanasia. Scratching can become such a problem for cat owners that it leads to their abandonment in cat shelters. This is often because their aggression is making coexistence seem untenable. The result is often euthanasia, as there are not enough sufficient resources to care for all these cats. In the study quoted earlier, of the total Canadian veterinarians surveyed, 73.3% only performed the procedure after recommending alternatives. This implies that an anechectomy should only be carried out as a last resort. The cons of declawing cats. It is fair to say that the advantages of declawing cats seem to directly affect the cat guardians and not the cat themselves. There is no medical benefit for the cat unless it is used as treatment for a specific physical problem. The possible problems, however, can be detrimental to the cat's well-being. They include painful procedure. The removal of the distal phalanx is a procedure which requires incision of the tendons and nerves around it. This is very painful, and management of this pain is required before, during, and after surgery. General anesthetics might be used, depending on how many fingers are going to be declawed. As cats are often very good at tolerating pain, it can be difficult to know just how uncomfortable they feel. Analgesics, painkillers, need to be administered at least 24 hours after surgery. But veterinarians are conflicted over both how well they work and even what drugs should be administered. A 2016 systematic review found that no clearly superior analgesic treatment was identified. Most cats seem to have a great reduction in pain after 2 days, but many still show pain symptoms long afterwards. Surgical complications. Any surgical procedure comes with risk. For an anechectomy, this might include hemorrhaging, reopening of the wound, infection, or temporary paralysis. Reduced ability. When a cat is declawed, not only are they unable to scratch your furniture, but they cannot scratch anything. They cannot mark their territory in the same way and cannot stretch naturally as they use their claws for ballast. Cats use their claws for balance, and many display instability after the surgery. At the very least, it can take a while for them to physically adjust to this new way of being. Emotional stress. We cannot emotionally prepare a cat for this invasive procedure, so the emotional impact of waking up without their claws is hard to gauge. Many cats take time to adjust and will still undertake scratching behavior even though they are not actually scratching. Cannot interact properly is another. A cat uses their claws to interact with other cats and animals. If they feel threatened, they cannot use their claws for defense, nor can they play as they would have done before. And doesn't address problems. If a cat has aggression issues, then removing their claws will only solve the practical problem of destruction. It will not address the issues which cause them to scratch inappropriately in the first place, and can even create more. Should you declaw a cat? The destruction of property and personal injuries created by scratching are problematic. While we might not like the idea of mutilating a cat, the outcome of declawing is very desirable to those who have had to put up with aggressive behavior and property damage. Alan M. Beck from the Center of Human-Animal Bond at Purdue University makes the argument that declawing saves lives. His claim is that there are too many cats being brought to animal shelters due to behavioral problems. He also claims his research conducted with colleagues shows that declawed cats stay in homes for longer, as less people give them away to shelters. The truth is that there is truth to Beck's argument, but only because of the limitation of cat guardians. There are many ways to deal with a cat's scratching problems. These deal with the reasons why a cat is scratching destructively in the first place. This means addressing emotional, behavioral, and environmental issues, which might be leading to the negative behavior. It also involves some practical techniques you can use to get your cat to scratch in a less destructive way. Our article on how to prevent your cat from scratching everything can help you do this, and you can find that on the animalwised.com website. If we rely on a surgical procedure, it leads to people thinking they can simply declaw a cat rather than provide an appropriate home for them. Better education on cat care and implementing ways to improve the bond we have with cats is a more encompassing way to deal with these problems. It promotes better understanding of cat behavior and greater general awareness, something which can help reduce the strain on shelters. On top of all of this, it prevents cats from having a debilitating procedure which can detrimentally affect their quality of life. As an elective procedure, we also unnecessarily provide certain risks to their physical health. For both the welfare of the individual cat and the general feline population, avoiding declawing seems to be what is better for everyone. Tips for cat claw maintenance. To better help avoid surgery such as declawing, taking better care of your cat's claws might be the solution to a scratching problem. A cat's claws or nails grow constantly throughout their lives. This is one reason why your cat scratches, to wear down and sharpen them. It is both a biological need and a routine habit for cats. If you want to prevent your cat from scratching the floor, curtains, clothes, or any household objects, you should have at least one scratcher available, ideally more. These could be in the form of cat trees, adhesive couch protectors, or simply a standalone scratcher. Choosing a cat scratcher might take some trial and error for your particular cat, but it is important. You can also trim your cat's claws if they are becoming a nuisance and they are unable to do them properly themselves. We have more information on how to trim your cat's claws properly to ensure you do it right, and you can find the links on the animalwised.com website. Environmental enrichment is very important for your cat. It allows them to be sufficiently mentally stimulated and helps to prevent behavioral problems. Ensure you have plenty of toys and games to help your cat stay engaged and reduce destructive behavior. Addressing your cat's psychological well-being can help reduce scratching problems. You need to look for signs your cat is stressed and deal with them accordingly. In doing so, you should be able to avoid resorting to the painful process of declawing. Next, is your cat especially active or pesty at dusk or dawn? Or does he walk on and tickle your face only on weekday mornings when the alarm goes off, but not on weekends, when you typically sleep a little later? Conscious Companion explains this behavior in a blog called Crepuscular Cats. Myth: cats are nocturnal. Fact: the domestic house cat, or the Felis silvestris catus, a name that, by the way, explains how some cat cartoon characters got their names, is actually crepuscular, which means they are most active at dusk and dawn. Most indoor cats follow a very specific trend of dawn and dusk activity, rather than strictly at night. Crepuscular behavior is also one of the reasons why cats wake us up every morning at the same time. Crepuscular critters. Crepuscular animals are species that are active primarily during twilight, at dusk, and dawn. They tend to sleep at night and lay low during midday when the sun is at its peak, reserving their energy when it's hottest. The word crepuscular is derived from the Latin crepusculum, meaning twilight. Crepuscular behavior differs from diurnal or nocturnal behavior, which respectively peak during hours of daylight and darkness. However, crepuscular critters can also be active on a bright moonlit night or on an overcast day. Some animals that are casually described as nocturnal are actually crepuscular. There are subdivisions of crepuscular animals. Matutinal animals are most active in the morning, while vespertine animals are most active at dusk. I hesitate to state that every house cat is crepuscular, but most indoor cats do fall under the crepuscular category. However, it's important to note that companion cats have adapted to our schedules so that each individual cat, whether a stray alley cat or a pampered house cat, can change their activity level at will, choosing to become less nocturnal or more diurnal in response to their environment and the routine of their humans. The time of day when cats are most active may not be all hardwired genetically, but may vary according to their lifestyle, which is greatly influenced by the human in their house. This was revealed in a scientific study. The results show that there was a high influence of human presence and human care on the amount of activity in cats. This means that many companion cats will adapt their activity levels according to how they are cared for by their person and the routines that the person has in their home. It seems that many house cats are more in sync with their people than previously believed. The daily activity patterns of feral cats, sleeping during the day and being active at night, which likely reflects the behavior of their prey, lets them better avoid humans. Patterns very different from kitties with homes. Those animals were most active in the morning and evening when their owners were likely home and awake. Nox, our youngest cat, is a perfect example of a crepuscular kitty, most active at dawn and dusk and sleeping mostly during the day and night. Most cats will sleep up to 16 hours a day, and older cats will sleep as much as 20 hours a day. These sleeping times vary in individual cats and in each home, but most sleep is during the daytime. When cats are most active is dependent on the home environment and how in sync they are with the sun or their human schedule. Some people live with felines that hide away all day in their secretive, quiet spots in the house while the humans or other animals are awake and moving around. If this is the case, then chances are your secretive kitties will creep out at night when the coast is clear. One of my feline companions, Samantha, loved to explore the house when the people and the annoying kitty boys were asleep. She would wait until the house was sleeping, then romp around, playing with toys and jumping about when she thought no one was watching. She loved to explore every nook and cranny of the house when she knew it was safe. The prime real estate window that was claimed during the day became her throne at night. Samantha and the kitty boys are much like the average cat that sleeps between 12 and 20 hours per day, but they had very different schedules that fit their feline needs. While this varies from cat to cat, most of a cat's sleep takes place during the daytime. This daytime hiding and sleeping behavior tends to make humans believe that cats are nocturnal. If we rarely see them during the day and then see them come out at night when they are most comfortable, we assume they are nocturnal. However, true nocturnal animals hunt, forage, eat, bathe, etc. at night. Nocturnality is an animal behavior characterized by activity during the night and sleeping during the day. The common adjective is nocturnal. Nocturnal animals are more active at night than during the day. These animals sleep during the day, often in a burrow or den. Many animals, like desert animals, are nocturnal in order to escape extreme daytime heat. Hedgehogs, red-eyed tree frogs, and barn owls are true nocturnal species. Older cats and outdoor cats. Outdoor cats tend to display more nocturnal behaviors due to their natural hunting instinct and their ability to follow through on this powerful innate need to hunt, capture, and kill prey. Scientists believe that nighttime is when cats' prey is most active, outdoors. Therefore, hunting is best at this time. This behavior stems from their lineage as desert cats, where nighttime temperatures were cooler and prey was more available. Panthers are also crepuscular, most active at dusk and dawn. They tend to rest during the daytime, then travel long miles to hunt during the cooler hours of the evening and early morning. Younger cats tend to stay up at night because they instinctively know that this is prime hunting time. But as cats grow older, they will adapt to the sleeping patterns of their home environment. Eventually, these cats will become more crepuscular. I have seen this happen with our two older male cats. They sleep most of the day, are very active early in the morning, at dawn, very active at dusk, but sleep again when the rest of the humans and dog are asleep at night. Our youngest cat stays up later than the older boys, but he does eventually come to bed after he is done exploring the quiet house. Cats' nighttime vision is far superior to that of humans. However, they can't see in total darkness. The structure of a cat's eye allows them to see well in low light. Cats only need 1/6 of the light humans do in order to decipher shapes. The muscles of the cat's iris surrounding the pupils are constructed to allow the cat to narrow to a vertical slit in bright light and to open fully in very dim light to allow maximum illumination. These special feline features developed for survival purposes as wild cats are nocturnal and do much of their hunting at night. A reflective layer behind the cat's retina called the tapetum lucidum reflects incoming light and bounces it back off the cones, making more use of the existing light. The tapetum is what we see in action when light hits a cat's eyes at night. You see shiny green orbs. Felis sylvestris catus sundials. Cats are such great examples of sundials. They naturally define their life by the sun. Most cats who are in sync with the sun's movement will be active at dawn and dusk. This is because it's part of their natural feline biology. It's instinctive. I encourage you to be conscious. Be a conscious companion and start to observe how your cat moves with the sun around the house throughout the day. See if your cat is more in sync with your human schedule or with the sun's movement. And now, are you and your cat getting zapped by static electricity in the wintertime? I bet your cat doesn't like it very much. Paige Cerulli on cuteness.com has some tips on how to get rid of static electricity in a cat's fur. One of the best parts of having a cat in your home is being able to cuddle with them. After all, who can resist petting a purring cat or letting your cat nuzzle herself into your lap? But if you're petting your cat during the winter, you're likely to be rewarded with a static shock that sends your cat flying into the next room, then eyeing you suspiciously the next time you approach. Luckily for both you and your cat, there are a few ways that you can reduce static electricity for more comfortable and enjoyable wintertime petting. Understanding static electricity. The more you understand about static electricity, the more you can do to prevent it. Live Science explains that static electricity is often caused by a static charge buildup that results from contact between materials. Shuffling your feet across the carpet is a common example of a situation that generates a static charge. The zap you feel when you touch your cat occurs because you are touching a grounded object, your cat, giving the static charge a path to the ground. It can be difficult to avoid generating a static charge in some situations, especially when there's a little humidity in the air, such as in the wintertime. With less humidity, the air is less conductive, increasing the strength of the zap that you and your cat feel. Water discharges static electricity. One of the simplest ways to reduce static electricity in your cat's fur is to use water, according to Catster. Dip your fingers into some water or mist your hands lightly before you pet your cat. Water will discharge static electricity, so if you are carrying a charge, you won't transfer it to your cat. Humidify your home. Mother Nature Network advises you to use water in another way to help reduce static electricity buildup and transfer. Invest in a humidifier to increase the amount of moisture in the air of your home. By running the humidifier every day, you'll make the air more conductive to electricity. This can help to prevent the buildup of a static charge and can also minimize the severity of the zap if a static charge does build up. Switch out the cat beds. Is your cat resting on a synthetic cat bed or blanket, such as one made of fleece? If so, the synthetic fabric can contribute to the creation of a static charge. Instead, look for a bed or blanket that's made of natural fibers like wool. These natural fibers are less likely to create a static charge. Condition your cat's coat. If your cat's coat is dry, she may experience more static than a cat with a well-conditioned coat. Pet meds suggest that you use a grooming spray or some grooming wipes on your pet regularly to help keep her coat conditioned and healthy. Strategically choose your brushes. Grooming your cat could contribute to the buildup of static electricity, especially if you're using a plastic brush. Choose a metal brush over a plastic one. Even better, purchase an ionic brush, which is specifically manufactured to help prevent the buildup of static electricity. And avoid dryer sheets. It might seem like common sense to rub a dryer sheet on your cat to reduce static electricity. After all, dryer sheets can help to reduce static in your clothes, so they must work on your pets, right? Wrong. According to the Merck Veterinary Manual, it's dangerous to expose your cat to dryer sheets. Dryer sheets contain cationic detergents, which are corrosive. Cationic detergents can cause serious health issues in pets, including burns to the eyes or skin, vomiting, seizures, muscular weakness, collapse, and even coma. If your cat is ever exposed to dryer sheets and displays these symptoms, consult a vet immediately. So, finally, there are some things we can try to avoid that zap when you pet your cat in the wintertime. My cat is waiting for me to try them all. And that'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.